Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare books to their movies.
I'm Bree.
I'm Allie.
And today we are covering Dune.
Sandy.
Sandy. Spicy.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Just not in the way you're thinking.
No.
Hilarious.
Oh my gosh. But yeah. Mm-hmm. Should be fun.
I think so.
Thanks, Travis, for picking it for us.
Mm-hmm. You are a regular listener, too, so thank you. And you interact on our social medias.
Yes. It's so fun to see all the time, all the comments.
Appreciate it. We love it.
Yes.
It makes our day.
You.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You had a picture to paint.
I do. John and I saw Mickey 17.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, my God. I think it's actually one of it's one of my favorite Rob movies.
Wow.
It's hilarious. It was so good.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it was not at all what I was expecting going into it. Uh-huh. And then it was just like, I was really glad that I saw it. John, on the other hand, so he enjoyed it, but he also said that it was a movie that he was not expecting. And there's a whole, John has this weird thing where he doesn't like aliens or like anything weird like that. And a big crucial part of the story is Rob's character. Like, he's an expendable, and expendables are made just to like go have these experiences to see how humans would react to them and see how they die. And if they die, he just gets reprinted. And so he goes out into this cold little area on a planet, and there's these like alien monster things, and everyone's like, oh, he's gonna get eaten by these guys. Turns out that they're like nice little alien animals, and they look like elephants mixed with roly-poly bugs.
Okay.
And to me, I was like, oh, they're little cute guys, especially because like they have their own little like language, and so they're like and so I'm like, oh, they're so cute. And John literally was like, if there were not aliens in this movie, I would have liked it a lot more.
Oh my gosh, was that the only alien scene?
No, they're in it. They're a crucial part to the story because everyone thinks that they're going to harm humans.
Okay.
And Rob is the only one who's like, oh, no, they're fine. Except for he also thought he was. His character's sitting there getting pissed at them. He's like, you don't want to eat me? Because I'm bad meat. I know I've been printed 17 times, but can you just eat me? Can you kill me? That's my job.
Now he has to actually do things and live.
Oh, no, this is where it got tricky because he lived and they thought he had died, they reprinted him.
Oh.
So then there's a Mickey 17 and a Mickey 18.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was really good. And my favorite part was at the end of it, even though John said, I would have liked it more if there were no aliens, he turned and looked at me and said, but my favorite part of the movie was Rob.
Aww.
I was like, hell yeah, it was. Hell yeah, it was.
So was it like a comedy?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. Mark Ruffalo's in it.
Oh.
Yeah. And he is basically a dictator, and he plays it in a way that seems very familiar.
Yeah.
And he did really good with it. Rob was amazing.
Huh.
Yeah, it was really good.
Okay, I'll have to try it.
Well, it's a book. It's my birthday. It's one of my birthday picks.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I will try it then.
Yeah, you will. I'm really excited. I'm really excited.
Oh, good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds fun. All right. So today we have Dune.
It's a military book.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a space military book.
Yes, it is very much so. A young man named Paul Atreides, who must travel to a dangerous planet to ensure the future and his family and people. Military book with sand
and some science fiction stuff thrown in.
Yep. Author Frank Herbert. Director Denis Villeneuve. Villeneuve.
What?
Villeneuve.
Oh,
okay.
Well, famous director, I take it.
That's why Bree's laughing at me like, how do you not know who that is?
Well, I also was about to jump in and say it, and you just kept going, and I was like, okay, I'm going to let her try. Kept not getting close. No,
you gotta just jump. Just jump.
Jump in.
Screenplay writers, John... Spyets?
This is one I can't jump in. What? I have no idea.
Spyets? Dennis...
I like when you don't know how to pronounce it, you get an accent to Spyets? Your voice. Like, maybe this will help.
It always does.
Oh my gosh.
Dennis Villeneuve. What is it?
Villeneuve.
Villeneuve. And Eric Roth were the screenplay writers. An audiobook reader was Scott Bricks and 11 other people.
There were a shit ton of audiobooks readers.
Okay, but I hated. So the way this audiobook worked, you guys, it was really cool. It was like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear it. Mm-hmm. They had music going, they had different actors and everything. It was really cool, but only for different chunks of it.
Yes. I realized like 3/4 of the way through, I was like, because I was wondering, I was like, man, I had been so freaking excited for this book, because in the first 5 minutes it hooked me, because I was like, this voice actor is talking for this person and I know who this person is and this person. And then all of a sudden it was just one dude for the rest of it, and I was like,
yeah, but then
on.
Randomly the different voices would come back and then they would be mm-hmm. gone again. And then I don't understand.
I understood the books from the Bene Gesserits and the daughter of the emperor, because I figured, at least how my brain, I should look at my book, how my brain thinks it happened was each chapter break had like, here's the book of the Bene Gesserits, which was the girl talking, mm-hmm. and then it would go into the chapter, and then it would be the next chapter, but it would be the book and the girl talking, and then it would go back.
Right. I understood. It was the sister was the in-between part.
Oh, was it the sister?
I think it was the sister.
Oh, I didn't put that together.
Yeah, because I think she always ended it with, and from the story of blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then in the end, that was her name.
No, because she kept saying like Irulan. And from the Bene Gesserits of blah, blah, blah.
Of Irulan. What's her name?
Her name is Aaliyah.
Hmm.
Or Aaliyah or something like that. Irulan is the emperor's daughter.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. But
that would make sense that it was her reading it to us, though.
So. Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't know why the actors, the voice actors, I have no idea.
It was annoying.
It drove me crazy. I realized there was a scene between the Emperor and the Baron. Uh-huh. And I kept getting lost with who was talking. And I was like, why am I getting lost so easily? And then I was like, because it's the same dude just changing his voice. Where are my actors?
Exactly. I don't get it. Why tease us and not have him the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, the book came out in August of 1965, and part one came out October 22nd, 2021, and part two came out March 1st, 2024. So that's 56 and 59 years different.
And I guess at this point we should say that we are doing the more recent Dune movies.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Not the one from the 80s.
Yes, we are. And what'd you do first?
I watched the movies.
I read it first.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, I love, you know me, I love outer space movies like this.
It reminded me so much of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. It's like, shit, there's another movie that it's like, why can't I think of what one it is? But yeah, the fucking worms look like the, I said the Tesseract. That is not it. The Sarlacc.
Mm-hmm.
Sarlacc. Yeah. I went into it because forever ago, when I was in college, my uncle had told me about the 80s movie and how much of a disappointment it was to the book. And he was like, but Brie, you would really love this story. I was like, why? He was like, you love Star Wars. I was like, all right, sure. So when they were remaking it, I was like, well, I know that the 80s version sucks, so I shouldn't watch that. Maybe I'll watch this. Went and saw it, and I was like, holy shit, I really actually really enjoy this. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't think I was going to, but goddamn, I do.
Mm-hmm. I was looking forward to it because Cameron loved this book.
Mm-hmm.
And then I loved Timothée Chalamet. So I was like,
Hell yeah.
It's a win-win. I don't like military books or really space books. So I didn't really like it at all. Like the whole story or anything.
I know for a fact if I had physically read it, I would have devoured the book. It would have been one of the best books I had read. Listening to it was hard.
Yeah. Yes. My notes prove that.
Yeah. I just think because like there's so many names getting thrown around. There's so many planets getting thrown around. There's like people talking about other clans and everything. Like I watched the movie. It makes perfect fucking sense.
I think that's the issue, too, is that there was so much talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like 90% of the book was talking, not doing.
Mm-hmm.
And my brain, especially when I'm thinking of notes, like my note is
they talk.
So-and-so talked. And now I'm like, I have to actually remember what they talked about. Are we serious right now? I can remember what they did. I don't know what they talked about. So we'll see how hilarious. This goes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, I think I enjoy doing more than talking. You wouldn't know that being on this podcast. And we picked it because of Travis. Thanks, Travis.
Yeah, thank you. This has been another one that's been on our list for a little while.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be a hefty book to dive into. So,
yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, so I got 10 facts for you because I got part one and part two. So let's do it. Because I don't have enough talking in this episode. David Lynch, director of the previous Dune, stated that he has zero interest in the new movie. He cited that his issues have nothing to do with the director of the new movie, but with his own painful memories of making the 84 version. Because it was a heartache for me. It was a failure and I didn't have Final Cut. Ooh. I've told this story a billion times. It's not the film I wanted to make. I like certain parts of it very much, but it was a total failure for me.
Well, that sucks.
I know. So he just never is going to watch the new one because it hurts too bad.
Well, he just died last year.
Really?
Oh, he's never going to watch it. Nope, Allie, he is not.
Well, I could have watched the first one. The scene on the ocean of Caladan were shot in Norway.
Uh-huh.
Much of the desert scenes were shot in the Middle East, in Jordan and Abu Dhabi.
I've been to the Dune Desert?
Yeah, you have.
I have the Dune Desert?
You have the Dune Desert sand. Take a picture.
But yeah. Wow.
So you have the sands from Arrakis right there.
Fuck yeah. I've got spice right here, guys. That's super cool.
It's cool.
I was watching it last night and I was like, that place looks so cool. I want to go there.
You've been there.
But I made a video for us where it was a scene where Timothy and Zendaya are running in the sand. Mm-hmm. I was like, I know for a fact that was fucking hard because we went sand sledding, climbing up that hill. I was walking and I was like, leave me. I'll die here. This is too hard to climb back up this dune.
Walking in sand is ridiculously hard, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hans Zimmer spent a week in the deserts of Utah.
Fucking hilarious.
What?
I love anything Hans Zimmer does. His scores are always great. I didn't realize he did the scores, and I'm in love with the score of this movie.
Well, there you go.
So that just makes sense.
He spent a week in the desert of Utah alone to stimulate some of the sounds of the landscape and even the rhythm of the winds into his thinking for the score. He also created several new types of musical instruments to give the score an unearthly, almost alien feeling.
Damn.
I know.
How?
Someone loves his job.
I was just going to say, how the fuck do you make new types of musical instruments?
I know.
What?
Isn't that crazy? Old composer Hans Zimmer and director Dennis whatever
Villeneuve
yes, grew up with a deep appreciation of the novel. When the director was leaving the country to go film overseas, Zimmer said, don't F it up. When they came back and Zimmer had to do the score, the director said, don't F it up. And Dune eventually won 10 Academy Award nominations, including Best Picture, brought home 6 awards, including Best Music for Zimmer.
Mm-hmm. And I think this year it brought Best Costume Design, I think.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the second one does have crazy fucking outfits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure. And number 5 for part 1. The score was recorded by Hans Zimmer during COVID-19 lockdown. Zimmer's team turned his sitting room into studio next to his daughter's room. He recalls she will tell everybody she suffers from bagpipe PTSD because it's 5:30 in the morning and I'm still blasting away. The whole house is shaking.
If I were his daughter, I would have loved that.
I know.
Oh, man. I forget how much I love this score until I start watching it. And then I'm like, oof, yes. Give me more.
All right, we got part 2. Stellan Skarsgård's body makeup took 8 hours to apply and 2 hours to remove every day. That's like a whole day right there.
Yeah.
I don't want to act after that.
Yeah. That's freaking dedication.
Yep. And he didn't drink anything and took
Imodium.
Yep. Pills in order to avoid having to go to the bathroom during shoot day. So he didn't have to take his makeup off.
Too much.
I don't love any job enough to do that. Even though the director said he would love to have made Dune Part 1 and Part 2 at the same time, both movies were so long and difficult to shoot that it would have been too exhausting. So that's why they split it up.
Yeah, for sure.
The sandworm riding sequence took 44 days to film and was shot in a set measuring 90 by 20 feet, 24 square feet. Upon first reading it in the script, cinematographer thought, how are we going to do this? Like,
yeah, what? But that makes me think that the worm is an actual like prop.
Right.
Puppet.
Yeah.
Which is insane. That's actually really cool.
Austin Butler was offered the role while having coffee with Dennis without needing to audition.
Whoa.
He trained for 4 months in Budapest using fitness regimen and ex-Navy SEALs to help him.
Wow.
I don't know who he was.
Fade Rafa. The bald dude who gets the knife and...
Okay. AMC's website crashed when tickets went on sale for this film.
Yes, it did.
I was you one of them? Was you one of them?
I was one
of them. Was you one of them?
Was you? Yes, I was.
That's funny. Okay. All right.
Let's get to it.
Let's do it. Come on, guys. We got this. Mm-hmm. So Paul is 15 and he left the room with his older woman and she held a poison dart to his throat and said, "This will kill an animal and we're about to test to see if you're an animal." The woman let him know his mother did this test and she had to stick her hand in this box and it's very painful. If he kept his hand in the box, then he's human, so he won't die. His mother comes in relieved that he's still alive and they talk about how they're looking for a man that's the seer and all the men that they've tried have died.
First off, the movie starts with backstory on everything. And I was thoroughly confused. Also, how the hell do you say his girlfriend's name? Isn't it Chaney?
That's how the book says it.
Okay, that's what I thought. And then yeah. The movie says Chaney.
They say like Shawnee.
Or there you go, Shawnee. Yeah. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's Chaney.
I mean, that's what the audiobook says.
That's true.
Audiobook of Harry Potter said Hermione for the first three books.
Okay, so maybe that is wrong.
So I don't know.
Okay, well, she's narrating. She's the one narrating. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that makes no sense. It would make sense if they had a random female voice narrating. So then it could be the sister or Paul.
Yeah.
But her, no. And then like other people started narrating too. And I was like, that just threw me off. I was like, that makes no sense. But
yeah,
this happens and it happens just later, like probably like 10 minutes in the movie. Mm-hmm.
The Baron and someone else are talking. I don't remember who. Who was he talking with? They wanted Lady Jessica, who's Paul's mom.
Oh, he was probably talking to Yui.
Okay.
The doctor who betrays them.
Okay. Names are irrelevant in the story to me, you guys.
Well, also, freaking Yui in the book was, or Dr. Yui, I should say, in the book was very there. He was in almost every scene so that you were very aware, like, oh, he's in with this family, but he's also like, he's two-timing. In the movie, I literally have notes. It's like, wait, there's no Yui, so who's going to betray them? And then I'm like, oh, it is Dr. Yui, but it's literally you find out about him the scene he betrays them.
So the Reverend Mother, the Reverend Mother was scolding Lady Jessica. Jessica was only to bear girls, but she chose to have a boy because her not husband or the Duke wanted one. And she lied and she's like, no, I wanted one, too. And I thought he could be the seer. The Reverend Mother did not believe her. What's done is done. And now Paul must go through all these tests and hopefully he survives.
Yep, that happens.
It's been a while now and Paul has been training his trainer.
Oh, except for I do want to say in the movie, Paul and... Oh, wait, that happens in the book too. Never mind.
It's been a while now and Paul has been training and his trainer comes in and says that they'll be arriving to their new planet soon. And he mentors him and how he's going to be very thirsty because there's no water on this planet. Very thirsty. Are you laughing at
the fact that you said he mentors him on how he'll be very thirsty?
Oh, mentions how he'll be very thirsty. He mentors him. He's like, okay, you're going to be very thirsty.
So I'm going to teach you how to be thirsty.
I'm going to teach you how to deal with it. They talk about never having your back to the door, and Paul was bummed because his father didn't come train with him. He practiced his sword fighting, which he didn't try very hard, and then the guy's like, get out of your funk, let's do it, and he did better.
Yeah, that happens.
Mm-hmm. A man came in and spoke with Paul before his father came in. Don't know who it was.
I have a feeling it was Dr. Yui.
Okay. He gave him a gift. Oh, yeah. I think it was. He gave him a gift, which was this little book, and it had all these magnifying glasses in it so he could read it because it's very, very teeny tiny book. And the man told him to open to his favorite verse because it was notched. Well, his late wife's verse was also notched, and he read that one, and he had Paul stop, and they agreed the book would be their secret.
Yeah, that's Dr. Yui. this doesn't happen in the movie because Yui is not there.
Paul spoke to his father about the battle that's happening on the planet. And one thing he spoke about was how Paul might be Bene Gesserit, which Paul was shocked because he's like, no. Trainings begin in infancy and you don't even know.
This is a difference.
Okay.
Because his freaking mom is training him and he's aware of it.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Oh, yeah. He's like, you don't even know you're being trained. And he's like, oh, I didn't know I was being trained. And all that special training has been for this. And his father let him know at some point the young man has to decide for himself if you want to continue this training. And that decision is now.
Yeah, that did not happen in the movie. Instead, his mom and him are like at breakfast and she's like, use your voice on me.
Very, very spacey. Mm-hmm. Supernaturally. Lady Jessica and Duke are talking and they're not married for political reasons, but supposedly Lady Jessica is his only one true love. And they had conversations that didn't go her way. And he let her know, hey, there's poisoners in the building that have been taste testing everything because I knew this conversation wasn't going to go your way. Because so he thinks she's going to poison him. I was so confused by that. Unless I understood that whole thing wrong.
No.
That's what I thought. Because I thought he never thought she would do anything to him.
No, he was just letting her know that he thinks someone's coming after them.
Okay.
I think it's because he thinks that her Bene Gesserit stuff is like not up to snuff.
Oh, got it.
At the moment.
Okay. So later this girl comes in. I think she's Fremen.
Right.
And she shows Lady Jessica her Chris knife, which is a very powerful sword. And Jessica must do the simple test and she passes and she's now in control of the Chris. And she did a light cut on the Fremen girl. And they spoke about the importance of keeping the Chris honorary and in control. Lady Jessica spoke with the guy that gave Paul the book. So Dr. Yui. And they knew each other for 6 years, but he slipped up, almost told her something that he wasn't supposed to, mm-hmm. which was that he's two-time in them. Mm-hmm. And they spoke about spice because it was the primary import that got them rich. And that's why they're at this new planet. And when they left their conversation, Lady Jessica knew he was hiding something, but didn't say anything. And he wished he didn't have to do what he was about to do.
This whole part does not happen. Instead, well, they're already on the new planet and Stilgar comes and talks to the Duke. That's the Fremen that comes and chats with them.
So Paul was asleep and woke up to find a speaker hunter hovering over his bed. So it was like a floating arrow thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was thoroughly confused when I read this.
I thought that. And then Bree told me, she's like, isn't it like a snake? And I was like, what? I was like, wow, I really messed that up. And then I watched the movie. Because I was like, Bree's seen it first. She knows what it is. No, it was a floating arrow.
For some reason, my brain was like, it's the floating snake. Well, I didn't think it was a snake. I thought it was like a snake-like thing.
Yeah.
That kind of like
squiggles.
I think I was thinking of a different movie, actually.
Yeah.
Because I can see the snake that it's got like a circular face that it looks like the worm that they read, but it's floating through the vents. Wait, I fucking think that's Star Wars.
Sounds like a Star Wars thing. Is it Clone Wars?
Oh, it is. Yeah, no, the third one. I was just thinking of the bed scene where he's in the bed and he wakes up because of his dream.
Oh my gosh.
It is the second one. It is Clone Wars.
It's like the one Star Wars movie I know the most because I remember I have like core memory. My parents went to this like auction thing every year when I was kids, mm-hmm. and my cousins are 10 years older than me. So they watched my brother and I, mm-hmm. and they had their girlfriends over and they just put that episode on. And I just remember sitting in front of the TV, just watching this and that scene with the little snake thing. And then the arena scene, we're just like, I was like, wow. So that's like, everyone's like, Clone Wars sucks. I hate that movie. I'm like,
it's the best one.
I was like, I like that one.
No, my favorite out of those three is the third one.
I don't remember it, really, any of them. Cameron would be so disappointed. Oh my gosh. I know, I'm trying to teach the kids Star Wars crap before Disney, and I'm like, I think that's this person.
Oh my God.
I think they do this.
Why didn't you ask me?
I don't know. It was in the moment. They asked a question. I was like,
you could text me.
I know. I was like, I don't know.
God damn. These kids need a better Star Wars.
I know. We just watched like number 7, and then like we fast forward to the key parts in all the other movies. I was like, oh, this is when Luke finds out that Darth's his dad. And then this is like, we did all this.
No, you didn't.
I did. Well, I was going to have us watch them all, but by like, because they seemed really into the movie for the first like 30 minutes. I was like, oh, we're going to watch all the Star Wars. Like, that'll be fun. By like the next hour and a half, they were just like, not into it. I was like, okay, they're not at the age for Star Wars yet.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But I was like, well, they got to know at least main characters. What if we see them? And then we freaking met Darth Vader. I was like, good thing that they know who Darth Vader is, because that would have been real awkward. Actually, Darth tried to get Tyler to join the dark side.
Oh, yeah.
And Tyler was just like, like, shook his head like, what is happening?
Oh, I would have joined.
Oh, man.
The stormtroopers always fuck with me, and I'm always like, all right, I'll join. Like, yep, I'm on your side. Like, you're messing with me thinking that I'm gonna be like, how rude.
Like, sign me up. Where's Anakin? Yeah, exactly.
Take me to your leader.
Okay, back to the actual book.
Lady Jessica.
Thank you. Lady Jessica wandered around her new castle. She came across this water supply room, and it had a lot of plants in it. Paul came in and showed his mom the speaker hunter, and they talked about who could have been. The guards come in, and they caught someone, but they died before they could ask him questions. And Jessica and Paul went walking, and they saw this very bright star on the horizon. They realized it wasn't a star. It was a flashy light trying to send a message, but they didn't know what it was.
Yeah, this part does not happen.
And we never find out what the message was, or do we? I'm assuming we do, and I just missed it.
I don't remember it.
Oh my gosh, I hate books that do that. Why tell me something and never follow up? Unless it's in one of the other, you know,
30. Oh, there's a chance. Yeah, yeah, there's a chance.
Might be one of the, yeah.
This is like it 30?
I don't know. This is book 12 in the series. From what I've seen, from what I've read.
Oh.
Yeah. This one is book 12.
I know. I thought it was Dune and then the Messiah one and then.
I don't know.
But I wonder if this is just Paul's story.
I can't reach. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, people tell me. But when I was like looking up notes, it's all like Dune, book 12.
Jeez.
So I don't know. I don't know if I was seeing something else or what, but.
Did you know that the guy is from Vashon who wrote these?
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the Duke was talking with people about where this traitor is, and someone said that they need to get the Fremen on their team and be workers, because that's what the planet they're on now.
Oh, so actually this does happen in the movie. Okay, then I was like, actually, earlier, and I was incorrect. It happens here.
Okay. So they're kind of having like a military business meeting going on between Duke and his people, and Paul's there, and they're talking about the spice and the best way to get them, and also the Fremen and how they've captured some and they have them working for them, and they're like raiding their families. And I'm like, okay, that sounds great. And then this guy named Idaho comes in, and he had found a Chris knife, and he was about to like unsheath it when the leaders of the Fremen, they're like, no, you cannot do that. It's not honorary. You got to keep it secret and secret and all this sort of stuff. The Duke was being very strategic and made friends with these leaders and people. Idaho pled his allegiance to the Fremen. And when he left, it seems like he was going to be a double agent. That can't have been right. Was that?
No, yeah, no.
That was.
It was. What it was he was gonna go work for the Fremen, but the second the Duke needed him, he would be back.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't a double agent per se in that sense, but was like a, okay, so I've agreed to this, but you need to understand that my allegiance is really to the Duke. So he calls me, I'm here.
Okay. The meeting continued and a lot of the people were not happy with how the Duke was going about things. And Paul just seemed like this whole thing is odd and off. Something doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
One of the Duke's right-hand men was saying he was hearing beliefs that Lady Jessica is a spy. And Duke refuses to believe this because he and Lady Jessica are in love. And they've been in love for 16 years. And he tells Paul, in any case, something were to happen, pass the message on to your mother that I always loved her and trusted her.
This does not happen in the movie. There's no like, ooh, I think it's Lady Jessica. Because there's no freaking Yui to be like
blaming stuff on. Kynes was a Fremen and he was talking to the Duke and Paul in the dunes. He made sure that the suits were on right and he noticed that Paul put his on perfectly without anyone showing him how to put it on. He remembered the myth about the Chosen One and how Paul is exhibiting all of these behaviors that the Chosen One's supposed to exhibit.
That does happen. This, what I will say is this first part is pretty much spot on. There was not much that I was like, ooh, what's going on?
It's part two.
Yeah, part two is where things.
I don't even know when they switch. Okay, so the Duke.
Yeah, look. I literally only have 5 notes for part one.
Wow. Okay. So the Duke and Kynes and Paul went to observe the spice collection and they witnessed a sandworm coming. And the Duke calls Kynes and tells them to let the other ships know because there are mining ships down there. And the first person to spot a worm gets bonus spice. So the Duke's like, split it up between all of them. I don't need it. But then he notices that they are all missing a ship to keep them safe or something was happening. Because in the show, in the movie, one of their things to pull them out was broken. Is that what it was in the book too? Like a ship didn't come.
It was because the people were still trying to get spice.
Okay. And they needed to evacuate immediately. So they ended up having to leave the spice behind and to save the men. And by the time they got back, the Duke was pissed that this even happened. And Kynes was very impressed. He realized this man is going to show loyalty because he chose the Fremen over spice.
Oh, I guess here's a, I mean, it's the tiniest difference, but at this part, the Duke is pissed because he's like, this is shoddy machinery. The Emperor knew this when he gave us this planet. And he was mad about that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do you, what?
Yeah, right. They were at their dinner, and the Duke noticed that they had water that they were just wasting. I think it was like to wash hands or something. And they're like, water is so like hard to come by. Why are we wasting water? He said that no more to that. And any poor person who wants to come in and get water while they're eating may also do so. And now he's getting a little drunk, though. And he then dumps a glass of water out because he knew everyone else would have to dump the water out. So I was confused. This whole chapter confused me. And I feel like I read it wrong or something because I was like, this makes no sense.
I don't remember him dumping out water.
OK, maybe I read that wrong because I was like that. Why would he do that if he's upset at wasting water before? I'm like, what is happening? Please tell me, you guys, let me know. Travis, let me know what happened. This was part of the there's too much talking going on and not enough doing and my brain is not registering what's happening. Paul's watching the reactions of everyone around them. And at dinner, Jessica was also making note because she's Bene Gesserit and she can do that. And she made note of certain people who had lines practiced that they were knew exactly what to say. And something went down and the Duke had to leave. And Lady Jessica and Paul are trying to decipher every single thing out of these guests. And
Yeah.
Yeah, this part doesn't happen in the movie.
Okay.
Jessica went and checked out the Duke's chambers, and he was not there. She found him drunk and got him to bed, and she spoke with him and one of his people, or she spoke with one of his people, about a lot of stuff, and she ended up holding her knife to this person's throat.
Was that Yui?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
So she found him out.
I don't think she totally found him out. I think at that point she was still like, you're hiding something, but this part does not happen. Instead, they like hang out in bed together talking about the future. Mm.
Yui came and found the Duke and he threatened him, held a knife to him. And he said, I'm going to help you because I'm going to hide your wife and son. The next time they meet, there will be no time for that because you'll die. Great. Good friend.
Yeah. Again, this does not happen because Yui exists in the movie, but not like he does in the book.
Right. Jessica woke up from a drug and she had been captured and brought into the outer wall. And she looked over and saw Paul was also being brought. Her captors were talking about possibly inappropriate things with her because she's a Bene Gesserit. And they've always wanted to try that. And Paul yelled at them.
At this point, so first off, way at the start of the movie, Paul uses Bene Gesserit ways to be like, mother, you're pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Like way early on. And he keeps like talking to his sister. Oh, wait. Nope. That's the start of the second movie.
I was going to say, wow. Already? Isn't yeah. that later?
Nope. Nope. That's the second movie. Just kidding. I have no more notes.
Okay.
I'm done talking. All done.
Bye. It's you, Allie.
Okay. So they were thrown into the sand and they had to figure out where to go from there. And there was something coming. So they had to run. Baron's people are now talking. And when asked when all the captors will wake up, and the Baron's supposed to be on his way now. I don't know. Bad guys are doing bad guys things, you guys.
No, the Baron's aware that the captors have Paul and Jessica. And so he's like, where are they?
Okay.
That's what he's asking.
Okay. Oh, geez, please. Someone met up with the Baron and said, I delivered this. Oh, is this Yui? Met up with the Baron and said, I delivered this. My part of the deal is done. I'm done. Baron was not impressed. And then arguing happened. And a woman and a child were not, or the woman and the child were not there, which frustrated him. And they're like, it's okay. They got eaten by a worm. You know, they're in the sand. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens.
Okay. Idaho set, nope, not set them to safety and be killed. That was Yui, right?
No, it was Idaho. Because This is Idaho coming and fighting off the
bad guys.
Dudes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
After they crash and all that.
Okay. They are down trying to figure out what to do. And Paul knows his dad's dead. His mom is freaking out because she doesn't know yet. And she's trying to figure out what to do. Eventually, Paul tells her the truth. His dad's dead, and she knows that that's true. And they're trying to figure out where to go from here, but they know they need to get cover before the sandworms get them.
I can't remember completely, but I'm pretty positive that she's the one who tells him that dad's dead in the movie. Monday night for me. That was far time ago. Far time ago.
Far time ago in a long galaxy far, far away.
In a long galaxy.
In a long galaxy away far. So Paul wakes up from a nightmare. He's freaking out. His mom's training him the way she did because, like, why did you do that to me? And he's like, I know you're going to have my sister. And she's like, what? How'd you know? And they're hanging out in tents trying to figure out where to go from there.
Yeah, that happens.
Okay. Back with the people that are trying to take over. What are they? The Harkonnens. Harkonnens. And one of them believes that Lady Jessica is a spy. They want to take her out. Someone died. And they're trying to play it off. But they're going to go bury the body. But they're like, no, they don't bury bodies on this island because Fremen culture doesn't do that. They're going to extract water from him. And then they're ambushed and a battle broke out.
Yeah, this doesn't happen. No one ever thinks that Jessica is a spy. Until the second movie. When Shawnee or whatever her name is gets pissed.
Paul and Lady Jessica were found at some point with Kynes in Idaho, or by Kynes in Idaho. When they were attacked, they had to barricade themselves and find a way out. They got out on these ships, and they're traveling through the rough travels, and both Jessica and Paul aren't sure they're going to make it, but they got to try.
Yep, that happens.
People woke up to the Baron to tell them that Paul and Lady Jessica are dead. He's like, well, where's the bodies? And they're like, we don't have them. And he's like, shut up and leave then. They're not dead. And he dismissed them and came in. Here comes his nephew. And nephew was all excited to help him rule and destroy the land. I was so confused.
The nephew's fade.
Okay. That doesn't help me. Drax.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the nephew? Who's Drax?
That's the brother.
There's a brother?
In the movie.
Oh, not in the book.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. I was so confused because I thought the Drax was the nephew, but then the nephew was supposed to be in the arena and Drax wasn't the one in the arena. I was like, who?
Yeah, I think I think it was to give a Harkonnen who actually went onto the battlefield and fought. Okay. Actually, no, he does have a brother in the second part of the book.
Okay. I missed it. But I didn't know names. Names confused me.
Yeah. Well, these guys also, because it was like the Baron.
Right.
The Emperor. Those two didn't have a name. It was always that. So, okay. Yeah.
All right.
I could see how that got confusing. All but right. Also, like I said, I also got kind of lost in this one.
Yeah.
I know for a fact if I physically read it, yeah, I wouldn't have been lost and I would have absolutely loved it. I would have ate it up.
I know. We decided, like, with me over halfway done with the book, that maybe I should read or watch this one and I'd understand it better. But I was like, man, I'm already halfway done. I'm just going to finish.
I know. I literally texted her and said, just watch it. Like, yeah, you'll under, like,
well, me it was having part of I couldn't watch it yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because so mom and I we had to finish The Chosen we could see it, because mm-hmm, each part is only in theaters for a week.
Oh.
And so we had to finish it to go see part one. And so that's also why I started reading The Portable Door instead of watching it.
Oh.
Because I looked on the list and Portable Door is not on our list.
Oh.
That I could find. So I couldn't see
what we were doing.
What I was doing. It, my updated one on, like, for docs.
Yeah.
My phone isn't working, but I went on Asani and it wasn't on. Or
I have not been on that. Okay. Forever, I haven't either. Is why.
So I couldn't, I just didn't know what to do. And then I was like, well, I can't watch it right now. Anyways, I'll just read the book. So that's why I did that. But yeah, so that was why, another reason I was like, I don't have time to start watching it right now.
Because I wasn't getting as lost as I knew that I could, mm-hmm, because I already knew the story.
Right.
And I knew kind of what was going on.
Yeah, I feel like.
So I could sit there and be like, oh, yeah, I remember this. Or, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Uh-huh. So Lane and Jessica ended up navigating through the sandstorm and they landed safely and they had to figure out what to go from there. They climbed down this mountain, but they had to be sneaky because the sandworms were coming. And as they go down, Lady Jessica fell into the sand and an avalanche happened. Paul ended up saving her. But lost prot, like, is their tent and everything. They came up with this idea of how to get the stuff back. But in the process, Lady Jessica fell again and he got her out and they were able to set up camp and they spoke and they said about meeting up with the Fremen. And Lady Jessica is worried that they would be dangerous. Paul's like, no, they're going to be fine. And she told him that they need to continue their lessons because he panicked today. And he needs to know how to not do that. Lady Jessica and Paul were wandering through the desert and they walked awkwardly because the sandworms couldn't find them.
Awkwardly.
It was like step, slide, slide, step, slip, step, slide, 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 step.
Which is crazy because in the book, he just knew that was how they were supposed to walk. Yeah. Whereas in the movie, it was, this is what I learned from our films back home.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's supposed to know. Isn't that why he's the like Fremen Messiah or whatever they call them? The sand drums were coming. I don't know what those are. Something bad. So they had to run. Sand worms didn't find them, but sand drums did. What the heck are sand drums?
I thought you were talking about the thumpers.
Oh, what's that?
The thumpers are the things that call the worms.
Oh, yeah.
So that's probably what it was.
That's probably what it was. Okay. And they ran into a cave and they searched for the Fremen tomorrow, but someone found them first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what that was.
Okay. It was Kynes, and he was talking to this old professor. He kept telling him things that he already knew instead of helping him. And his wife died because the pressure from carbon dioxide underneath the sand.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
People are talking about trust and how they can move on from here. And Lady Jessica brought out the Chris and threatened, showed everyone how control she was. And this guy introduced his daughter and he came out and basically gave them crap about how loud they were being. And Chan, what do we say her name is now?
I don't know.
Chaney.
Whatever you want.
Sure. Chaney was asked to watch and take care of the people who were injured, which is the daughter.
Yep. That does not happen. It's also not his daughter. It's his niece.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Her dad's dead.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because we know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know right now, but at some point we find out.
Yes. So Paul had to do a sword battle. Wait, a ceremony happened and Lady Jessica and the leader, and she like became the new leader woman. So Paul had to do a sword battle fight with a Fremen person. So at first he looked like he was just playing with him, but he's waiting for him to yield. And they're like, no, we don't yield here. We die. So he's like, okay. And then he killed the guy. And this was his first ever kill. So, but the Fremen were like, all right, you are the one we're waiting for. And his mom was now afraid of him and for him.
His mom never seemed afraid of him or for him. Mm-mm. His mom was like, yes, let's fucking do this.
Yeah, she's ready.
Yeah, but this does happen. And this is where, like, a little bit after this is where end of movie one, start of movie two.
Yes.
Oh, there's also stuff here that did not happen in the movie. There's actually some stuff that I'm like, okay, I get why they didn't do it because
I'll get to it. Okay. So they attended Jameis's funeral and everyone said, I am a friend of Jameis. And they shared a memory of him. Well, Paul didn't want to say anything because he just killed the guy and he didn't know him. But his mom's like, you are saying something. So he ended up crying because he felt bad. And this was like, oh my gosh, the Fremen were like, oh, you're wasting water on the dead. You must really have cared for him. And he's like, okay. Yeah. And then he was told he gets the water that was extracted from this body because he won it. Gross.
Yeah, but imagine if you lived in a land that water was sparse.
I know. I love the scene where him and Chaney are talking. She's like, tell me more about the water. Does it really fall from the sky where you're at? I was like, that's kind of cute. That's like, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's mortified. His mom said, go do it. Chaney wanted to get to know him more. His mom made note to warn him about the women of this tribe.
Oh, you totally didn't even write about this part. So on top of Paul getting Janice's water, he also inherits his wife and family.
Oh, that's coming up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got this right.
Okay.
Now. Yes. Paul ended up singing a love song to tribute Jameis, and it was to Chaney, and his mother was in shock. Paul thought his mom doesn't know this, but she's my number one enemy right now.
Yeah, this also doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No, there's no weird dynamic between Paul and his mom.
Nope.
Apart from the fact that I think it's weird even before I read the book that his mom was so like, I must put Paul up on this pedestal.
Right.
I was like, dude, that seems like the way to lose the war.
Right.
Like, let him get on the pedestal himself.
It was odd.
Yeah.
So the Baron's getting in trouble by the Emperor for things that he did on the other island or a planet. and they're getting ready to watch this nephew in a Coliseum fight. And they have two knives. One is poison, one doesn't. But they're color coordinated, so like everybody knows, oh, you pick this knife, then it's the poison knife. But they got switched on purpose. They drug a slave out who was ended up being Yui, but he wasn't drugged. Or if he was fighting the drugs. I don't think he was drugged.
No, he was not.
And so they drug Yui out and they do this whole fight battle thing. After a risky battle, the nephew ends up tricking him and killing him with the supposedly not poisoned sword, but it is poisoned. And the other two people or other people are watching. And then two of them are like, something screwy's happening here. And the plan was to have that. What they want is to have this guy get the girl in these this double teams that are watching pregnant so that the bloodline can continue, but they can raise it in the right way.
I don't think the Bene Gesserits.
Is that who's talking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Bene Gesserits want him.
Oh.
To impregnate her. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The only thing that doesn't happen in the movie is the poison sword getting switched.
Okay. So the leader of the Fremen introduced Paul to James' wife. She was upset at first, but then got over it very quickly. And Paul decided that if he want, or Paul got to decide if he wants her to be his new wife or her his servant. But no matter what, he has responsibility over Jameis's children because you killed their dad. And so he chose servant, which upset her. She's like, I'm so young. I am such a good wife.
I'm still beautiful.
Yes. Why am I your servant? And she educated him on different customs that Fremen do.
What's funny is like, he was doing it out of respect.
I know.
And she's like,
what the
heck? Rude.
Yeah. I was already someone else's wife. And then Jameis won me. Yeah. I was very happy. Don't you want me to?
Yeah. Excuse me. This is my life.
Yes.
That does not happen. And the reason I think they don't do that is because that would just be weird to see a Timothée Chalamet, who at that point was a teenager still.
Right.
In this situation.
Yeah, I think so.
So kind of glad that's not in the movie.
Mm-hmm. There's a ceremony going on where Chaney came in.
Whoever the hell that is.
With this like magic water. And they told Lady Jessica to drink it. She was nervous because she had no idea what's in it, but she smelled poison.
Oh, wait. Here's some type where of drug. It was. So the ceremony before did not happen. This is the ceremony okay. You were thinking of.
Mm-hmm. She couldn't turn it down, though. She had to do it. So she did it. She was transforming into the new Reverend Mother. The old Reverend Mother was dying and transferring all her memories to Jessica. They were worried when they found out she was pregnant. Luckily, it's a daughter. So hopefully it'll be OK, because if it was a son, dead. Paul had to drink it, too. Or she told him, you must drink it now or something like that. I don't know. He was comforted by Chaney and he could see the future and all the death that was going to happen. But he also saw her and him would be in love and they promised to stay that way.
So however the hell you say her name in the movie is so against the Bene Gesserits and so against anything that is not the Fremen people that she would never be caught dead giving Jessica the water. Mm-hmm. And so in the movie, it's just Jessica with the old Reverend Mother and all the other like Bene Gesserit type women.
Yeah.
That's in their crew. And Jessica just drinks it herself and she does want Paul to drink it, but Paul doesn't drink it then because she's like, you need to be aware that you will die most likely because boys typically die from this. So be careful. Also, she before going to do the water thing, that's when she tells Paul basically like men die from this. Yes. I'm like, God damn.
Thanks for training me like that, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
So the Baron was talking to his nephew about the stunt that he pulled in the arena.
Now, I should also say that the second movie starts with Paul talking to his little sister, who's still in his mom's stomach.
Oh, yeah.
And is like barely a fetus.
He said, if you stop trying to kill me, I'll retire and give you this position. Nephew wasn't sure about how to feel like about that. Howitt and Baron were talking. Howitt provided a plan to make the Emperor suspicious, not suspicious of their plans. The Baron's nephew is still going on a ruckus, and they're going to send word that they need spice help, but not send any more armies. The Baron said this is an awful idea because it will repress even more, which Howitt said, yes, it will. And it slowly dawned on him what the plan was.
That's what confused me when I went to watch the movies after I had read the book. Howitt is in the first movie and he's friends with the Duke and Paul.
Oh, isn't he a bad guy?
Uh-huh. That's what I thought after I read it. But then I saw the movie and I was like, oh, maybe he's just one of the people who like dealt with everyone.
So in the movie.
Mm-hmm. He's also only in the first movie.
Oh.
Which is funny because in the book he shows up halfway through the
right. Huh. Okay. So now it's years later. And that's the only time we can tell passage of time in this book, you guys. So
much so that I was thoroughly confused when I read the rest of this. And especially since I watched the movie first. And the movie all takes place in the same time frame.
Yep. Because Paul wakes up from a dream. He's dreaming about his son with Chaney. And he couldn't tell if they were things that happened or haven't happened yet. And Chaney came in to talk to him about how the people are freaking out about his sister because she's talking like an adult and saying things only adults should know, but she's 2 years old.
Yeah, that does not happen in the fucking movie.
No. The sister's not born, right?
No, sister's never born in the movie.
Yeah. So Paul's servant girl came and told off the sister to Lady Jessica, said she touched a newborn and we need all the newborns to cry because that's the only time in their whole life they can cry. And she stopped crying as soon as your daughter touched her. And they also spoke to Paul about how Jessica does not approve of their relationship with Chaney, but Chaney wants what's best for him. So if Jessica tells her, she might back off.
This does not happen, although Jessica definitely does not approve of Chaney and Paul's relationship in the movie.
Paul and Chaney did a group of others were riding sandworms. They were doing their regular infantry when they noticed someone is coming and they slid off the sandworms and watched.
My next note is Chaney is against so much in the movie. Because she is. She's literally so angry and against everything in the movie, which is insane. Yeah. And I guess at this point in the movie, Jessica has also decided to go south without Paul because she's like, I have to go pave the way for you, which I was like, dude, you never leave Paul's side except for like when he's an adult and has his own family and he's the one leaving to go do other shit.
Okay, so Paul and his guys went and attacked these spies. Turns out these weren't spies. They were Gurney, who was Paul's trainer way back when. They had a long chat and good graces again, and they found out new people, or they found new people, and they immediately accused Paul and were worried about Chaney. That made Paul worried about Chaney but she came back and told her to go get his mother. The spies are worried about Paul, and Paul's like, no. And then they're worried about Chaney. And he's like, why are you worried about Chaney? I'm worried about Chaney too now. Go get my mom. I don't know. Something happened with spies, you guys. I haven't. So there's a situation with Gurney. And he took Lady Jessica to the throat. And he's going to kill her because you betrayed the Duke. And she's like, I didn't. And Paul jumped in and said it wasn't her. And eventually Gurney cried, realizing the truth. And Lady Jessica forgave him.
This does not happen in the movie at all. Gurney never once is like, it was you. Mm-hmm. He's just happy to have found his quote unquote family.
Chaney was called to a meeting by Paul, but it turns out it wasn't Paul who called her. It was Lady Jessica. And now she's freaking out. She was worried Paul's dead. And that's why she called him. She's like, he's not dead, but he's been poisoned. Chaney gives him some medicine, like medicine water, and he wakes up. And he ends up drinking way more than he's supposed to, which freaks Jessica and Chaney out.
Okay, this part irritated me in the movie.
Okay.
So this is towards the end of the movie. And this is when Paul has decided that he needs to drink the water of life or whatever, the thing that Jessica drank to do the thing, which also is basically what made his eyes turn blue, when it's really supposed to be the spice that he's been digesting from being in the desert.
Oh.
And part of his prophecy is that the desert springs tears is what's going to bring him back to life. So he drinks this water of life, dies, and then is supposed to have the desert springs tears bring him back to life. And Shani's name translates to desert springs. So when he's dead, Jessica's like, go get Shani to some other people, and has Shani come literally just so she can cry for Paul to bring him back to life. And then Jessica uses her Bene Gesserit voice on Shani to be like, give him the water. Because at first Shani is like, no, no, this is all your fault because you're and your stupid beliefs and blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
And so then I read this and I was like, huh, this does not seem like that.
Right. Paul was planning an attack on the Harkonnen. And they got ready and did the attack, but it started to go insane. He told men to fall back, and they didn't want to leave their equipment. He found out his son was killed and his sister was captured. When the heck did his son get born? I don't know.
No son, no sister. The fight happens.
Yeah. Now we're with the sister, and she's acting like this is all a fun game, and she's with the Emperor and the Baron, and they find out that she can almost sort of read minds. Do you have a note?
I do have a note back to what I was just talking about, because in the book, there was a moment where Shani is like, this must be what Jessica went through because Paul is here dying and I have to worry about my son and I only want what's best for my son. And this is what she went through. So they have this nice little bonding moment. And so because in the movie there are no children, they have no special bonding moment.
So the little girl is like, oh, my gosh. And they're like, you can read brains, You can read minds. Tell him that I will kill you. And she's like, no, I'm not going to tell him that. And he's like, why? They hear something going on. And then she's like, that's my brother. Coming to kill you.
What's insane? I'm just realizing how screwed up they made everything at the end. Because Paul's the one reading in everyone's minds. And he's doing it out loud to everyone to prove that he's the Lizan Al-Ghaib.
See, that's why I couldn't follow along. There's all these weird names I couldn't.
Yeah, Lizan Al-Ghaib, Muad'Dib. Those were both Paul.
Yes.
Who was also called Usul.
Yes. Oh my gosh, too much. Paul, Lady Jessica, the Emperor, and a bunch of people were talking. Jessica noted that Paul was not the same, and he seemed to only care about, like, he didn't care about people as much. And Shani came in, and she also could tell that. He was all worried about the war and winning the war. And the Baron is also his grandfather, apparently. And him and the nephew start fighting for... Is that not right?
It's right. It's just that you learn about that forever ago in the book.
Oh.
Or wait. Oh, now I'm trying to remember.
I know we learned about it before this.
But yeah.
This was my first note of it.
Okay. Okay. I was like, this, because I forgot.
In the movie. In one of the talkie moments that I was like, I don't remember everything they talk about.
In the movie, he does it right at the end as he's killing the Baron. Paul does.
Mm. Okay. No, he did learn about it before now. So him and the nephew start fighting for ruling, and Paul wins, and he's going to marry the princess, but he assures Shani it's just for status. I still love you.
Yeah, this is where I got thoroughly confused about the whole kid thing, because, like, here I am going into this book having seen it all before.
Right.
And they keep talking about son and stuff in the movie at this part. Paul does agree to marry the emperor's daughter, Irulan, or whatever. And it pisses Shani off. And she gets up and leaves. And then she goes and gets a sandworm to leave. Like, leave.
So then I got to this part and the book literally ends with her being like, well, I am now the concubine like his mother was. Mm-hmm. And I am OK with that. I was like, what in the fuck?
Right.
So weird. I was like, holy crap. This is not her at all.
Nope. All right, you guys. So
that actually wasn't as long as I thought it was going to be.
It was not at all. We booked it.
I knew the first part was really good. The second part is where it got fucked up, and there's still a lot that actually did happen. It's uh-huh. just that it was done in the wrong order or done way incorrectly.
So IMDb cast for part one, 49 people, and part what? Two, 108 people.
But what?
No, that's little.
That's tiny. Mm-hmm. That surprises me.
Yep. So we got Timothée Chalamet played Paul.
Man, this was the first movie that I saw him where I was like, wow, you are actually a hot dude.
Yes, he's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca Ferguson played Lady Jessica.
I can only ever see her as Rose the Hat.
That's where I saw her from. Mm-hmm. I was like, why is she familiar? Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I didn't look her up for some reason.
Yeah, no, It's sad yes. because she's not a bad person in this, but because she plays Rose, I hate her.
Yeah, I didn't like her in this either.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar Isaac played Duke.
I freaking love Oscar Isaac.
Poe.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Skellen Skarsgård played Baron.
Wow, you just skipped over Jason Momoa.
Oh my gosh, yes I did. How did I do that?
I don't know.
I was so excited when I saw him. Played Idaho.
I loved him as Idaho. I was really sad when he died.
Yeah.
I kept thinking, I was like, they're going to bring him back for the second one because I had not read the book.
Yes. They did not. Then yeah. We got Skellen
Skarsgård. We're almost done.
We're almost done. Play the Baron.
I love him so much. Yeah. I will watch him in a Bootstrap Bill Turner. You're the best.
That's who it is.
Yeah.
There were so many big name stars.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I recognize you.
Who are you?
What?
Well, he's the dad of so many good looking kids. Yeah.
Yes. Josh Brolin played Gurney.
He did really good. Mm-hmm. I actually forgot he was in this. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I heard him like I was doing. What was I doing? I was doing something else. And I heard. I was like, Thanos. And I look up and I was like, Thanos. Javier Bardem played Stilgar.
The Fremen leader.
Okay.
He was so good.
Mm-hmm.
I loved when he really was starting to believe that Paul was the Messiah.
Yeah.
Because like he played it so freaking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked him a lot.
He was good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We got
Zendaya.
Did you say Zendaya or Zendaya?
I say Zendaya.
I say Zendaya, too.
But who says Zendaya?
I've heard a lot of people say Zendaya. I say Zendaya.
I'm pretty sure in interviews it's Zendaya.
Okay. Chaney.
She did good for what she was given.
Yeah.
I think she could have played Book Chaney.
Yeah, I think so.
For sure.
But yeah. But that wasn't how it was written.
Not in the slightest.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Austin Butler played Fade.
He was good. He was creepy as fuck.
Dave Bautista played Beast Rabin Harkonnen.
Again, good for what he was given.
Yeah. Then we got Florence Pug played Poog Puh. I don't know how you say it.
Florence Pew.
Okay.
Florence Pug.
It's Pug from now on. Your nightlight keeps turning on and off.
It's motion censored.
Oh my gosh.
It's moving because of us.
Goodness.
Allie thinks I've got a ghost.
It's been weird. Oh my gosh. Is she white?
Yes, she is.
Okay.
Yes, she is. She did really good in this.
Yeah, she did. Mm-hmm. I liked her.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Christopher Walken played the Emperor.
How can you go wrong with Christopher Walken?
I don't.
What's funny is me and John just finished season two of Severance, and he's in it, and he plays one of my favorite like characters because of his love story.
Yeah.
And so here I was going off of a Severance kick, and then I got on this, and I was like, Bert? I didn't realize you were in this.
Perfect. Is the theme of the book of the movie the same?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do space, sand.
Yeah. Do the characters stay true?
No.
Nah. Which do you prefer?
I love the movie.
Yeah, I prefer the movie. Okay. Yeah.
I do. I think if I physically read it, it would be a harder choice for me. Mm. That's what stops me, because I do think that, like, going over it with you right now, I realized how much I actually retained that I did not think that I retained. But yeah, I also just really like, I love seeing the fucking outer space movies like this. Give me more Star Wars.
It was just too much talky in the book.
Yeah.
And there was more action in the movie. So I was, I like the movie better. Would you recommend it?
Yeah, I would.
No, I wouldn't.
Not even the movie?
Sorry, Cameron. No. I know. I feel bad Cameron didn't get to see this one. I wonder what he would have thought.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. Because I know that the 80s one did shitty. And so when I went into it, because I knew that everyone thought this version did way better. So now I'm really curious how bad
the original one did. The director himself said it's a failure.
Yeah. But man, the second one went way off the rails.
I know.
Like, whoa, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've got a website, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Oscript253.wixsite.com/Oscript.
You can rate, subscribe, and review there.
You should do it for us. You
should, 100%.
Give us some love.
Yes, we'll give you love back.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up June 7th, we got the Nerd Party in Kent, Washington.
Cannot freaking wait. It's going to be so fun.
You should come see us if you're up here.
Yeah, come check it out.
Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, we might have a mini-sode for you.
Potentially. We'll find out.
Yes, you'll find out when we do. And then Monday, we got the portable door.
I'm actually really curious to watch this movie since I'm literally like 60% through the book and that's when the action's starting.
Yeah. Okay. So what chapter are you on? Because
chapter nine.
Nine. Okay. I am like almost done with eight and I'm loving chapter eight. So
that's really chapter seven's when it turned around.
Okay. Okay. How many chapters are there?
14.
Okay.
Okay. Which thoroughly... I am curious about this movie because how do they have the first half with nothing?
Right.
I'm thoroughly confused.
I know. I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun, but it was a slow beginning.
Oh, the beginning. Chapter three. By chapter three, I was like, what the fuck are we reading? Because coming off of this, I was excited to get into something that gripped me. I was not gripped.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck. The whole first half, I'm positive I don't remember jack shit.
Oh, that's okay. I do.
Good.
Because I actually have been liking it.
Okay, good. Because I just know that Paul, ironically,
I know,
has been in love with Sophie.
Yeah.
And is sad that she doesn't seem to be on the same page. They got a job. Don't know what their job is. That's it.
That's about it.
But I'm like, I thought I was getting into like, ooh, we're going to go through the portal.
I think we're getting there.
Yeah. We're close. Yeah. We're close. Okay. Well, this literally like everywhere I've looked for this or looked up anything about this, it says it's a cult classic. So everyone loves this book.
Huh?
Yeah. I'm confused.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, fine. Okay. And with that, wait, didn't I do the last one?
No, I did.
Okay.
Defending Jacob, remember?
Oh, that's right. With that, Dune
went off script.
Bye.
We did it, Allie.
Oh, we did it. Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.